Hi, I'm Quentin D'Souza, and you're listening to Getting Started with Education REI. Create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing. Make sure to check out educationrei.ca. In this episode, this member has been investing close to home in single-family properties. We explore different ways to convert his portfolio to multifamily properties with a positive cash flow. Have a listen. Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Quentin. And nice to meet you. We talked on Instagram for a bit and I decided to join.
That's great.
I started investing real estate in 2016. Mm-hmm. Well, before that, I bought a pre-construction condo in 2011, but my occupancy was 2016. Right. So 2016, before getting married, we looked at the wedding costs and decided to not spend the money on a fancy wedding and buy an investment property.
Okay.
So
that's different. You don't hear that too often.
That's very different.
You're a lucky man if your wife agreed to that too.
She did. She's on board. So we purchased the investment property and we still have it to date. The property is located in Newmarket. Unfortunately, we only had limited amount of money. The wedding cost in Ontario is like 70,000. So we only put down 10% to purchase the property, and the property is cash flow negative.
Okay.
And so with the fact that we purchased the property with 10% down, we had to go with the unconventional mortgage and get CMHC insurance. And it was only 25 years amortization. So right now there's only 20 years left of the amortization. The first year I purchased a property, I didn't increase the rent, unfortunately. I wish I did. But subsequently, every year I have increased the rent. I will not hold back because I work as a realtor as well, and I see that other investors are doing it. So I learned by observing the others. So right. I have a full-time job. I'm a construction project manager. I obtained my real estate license in 2017, mainly because that property was cash flow negative and I needed to supplement my income. And that worked out fine. So it was the best decision to make. So what I did was, after 2 years, my mortgage interest changed. Because I only had a 2-year fixed mortgage on a property, it was at 2.18 at the time, 2016, before the big increase in the market. After I had to renew my 2-year term, my interest rate jumped to 3.55, and I felt I got hit in the gut quite a bit. So the cash flow negative went from minus 200 to around $800 negative monthly.
Okay.
And it was really tough at the time, but I put through and I made sure that I'm going to work hard and just concentrate working on a real estate job to have some active income to supplement what is negative. Now, as we sit, I made the same mistake as a gentleman last night in the Durham REI conversation, that he said he fixed his mortgage right before at the beginning of the pandemic. So I did make the same mistake.
When did you fix it? Like in April 2020?
I waited for in April 2020, and I waited for 3 drops. So what happened was my interest rate went from 3.55 to 2.55.
Okay.
And in the meantime, my principal residence, I sold the condo that I purchased pre-construction in 2011. My father called me in 2018 and he said, like, now the gap between the condo and freehold property has narrowed, and sell the condo immediately. And that's exactly what I did. So I sold the condo in
Right.
downtown Toronto. It doubled in value, and I took the money and purchased a detached home in Etobicoke.
Etobicoke, okay. What did you pay for the detached house in Etobicoke?
So I purchased a detached house for 870.
And when did you buy that, 2 years ago?
The 2018. So I closed August 5th, 2018.
Okay.
And what I did was I sold the condo for 950.
Yeah.
And that was a record high in the bid. It still is a record high. So I took the proceeding and I didn't spend it. What I did was I took the money and instead of taking a private mortgage to renovate, I used my own money and renovated.
Okay.
So I put the 20% down on 870, so roughly 167, paid the closing cost, and then renovated 260.
So did you put a
And
basement suite in it, or you just renovated it for?
no, I renovated it for myself. So I didn't put a basement suite in. I'm pretty comfortable to pay for my own principal residence and not have a tenant in my principal residence.
Yeah. So
So
this house in Etobicoke is your house where you live?
that's correct. This is
Gotcha.
my primary residence. So what I did was right before the pandemic started, like the announcement was we're going into a lockdown in March. So I said to my wife that I need to refinance this home now. So because I pushed the appreciation
Yeah.
and now this house is worth a lot more. So I sent the appraisal in and I talked to a mortgage broker. Mortgage broker sent the appraisal in. The appraisal came back low. I said, there's no way I'm going to accept this because I have access to MLS and I think that my house is worth this much. Send a second appraisal, I'll pay for it. So what they did, they sent a second appraisal. The appraisal came in pretty high.
Okay.
So what I did, I took the money out. Here's what I kicked myself at. 2000, so last year in April, we went into a slump. And nobody was buying a property. And I started, I was at home and I was looking at, I probably looked at 300 properties easily. I found a property, detached home in Etobicoke, probably walking distance from my house, that the couple was going through a divorce and they had to sell. They didn't buy because it was cash flow negative. So I learned from my mistake back in Newmarket, and I wanted to buy a property that is cash flowing or at least breaking even. So
Right.
what I did was, at that time I had 250 line of credit.
Yeah.
So with the 250, what I did was I narrowed down my search and everything I was looking at, and with the concern with the tenant and not paying rent, I didn't want to make a big risk. I did have savings. I did have a reserve fund that I could go back to, but it wasn't a massive reserve fund that I could take a giant risk and go into a detached property that's worth $1 million and the tenant doesn't pay. So I ended up purchasing a condo townhouse in Mississauga at Mavis and Eglinton. I purchased the condo townhouse and it came with a tenant, and the tenant was paying market rent.
What
The
was
tenant is
the
actually
price of the condo townhouse?
419. It
Okay.
was listed by 440, and I purchased it at 419. Now it's worth 500.
And what and is it cash flow positive?
You know, I had to do a trick. If I put a high down payment, as in 60% down, it would have been cash flow positive. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to hold on to my line of credit. So what I did was I put 30% down, so just making sure that I can get a mortgage. And the rent was the market rent, is actually above the market rent as we speak. Like it is higher than what other units are being listed. And I did I lent out some money at 7%. So and this way, my net on the investment properties are positive by $50.
I see the way that you've done it, and that's fine. Like I get it, but I mean, you're just yielding on the funds that you would have put on the down payment in order to make sure that it equates. But I think that the challenge that you're going to have is that you've created like an income stream from your second mortgages or your mortgage money in order to cover off the negative cash flow on the two assets. It's fine. I understand why you did it. And I understand now. Is the reason why you've decided to invest in Mississauga because you're close to it, or Etobicoke is because you're close to it and you understand it, or because what's the reason why Etobicoke or Mississauga? Is it because of your what you believe appreciation is going to be like? Or
so before joining your course, I had the idea of just staying within the big cities. I didn't want to go into small cities. For example, a lot of people are going to Niagara Falls, and I could go to Niagara Falls and decide not to do it because, as you know, Niagara Falls has been flat for a while. So for me, population growth, jobs were important in order to make a decision on where to buy. Also, I purchased the rental property in Mississauga, and my idea was short term. So the reason why I was thinking short term is because I was trying to flip it and take the money and purchase a detached home. Like as a down, I wanted a bigger down. That's what the objective was.
Are you still planning to do that or no?
I'm open to it, actually, because the condo townhouse it requires some work. It's a minor cosmetic work, change appliances to stainless steel, change the kitchen, and then flip it and put it into a freehold property. That is a preference that I have.
Okay, what is the condo townhouse worth?
Right now, 500.
Okay. Do you still have the York Region property? What is it worth?
I do have it. That's a freehold detached property purchased at 675. And it is one house in the same street sold for 950.
Okay. And then your yield is negative on the York Region property, and your yield is negative on the condo townhouse by itself, right? But together, by using the lending, you're able to come up positive on both of them, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about what I think is going on here. And so what's happening is that I see that you are focused on a particular, you're focused on the Greater Toronto Area because it seems like you've got the familiarity there with it. You understand that there is cash flow and appreciation in other areas, but you haven't really, gone out to look at, what's available. You've been sticking to single family homes because I think it sounds like it's easier to manage, and also that there's one tenant. But other than that, I'm not sure. You haven't gone into the duplex route, triplex, fourplex. You haven't gone into any larger units. So I'm assuming that it's easier for you to manage the single family homes, right?
That's correct. But we are open to going into multi-residential as long as the cash flow net operating income is making sense.
Right. So what I want you to start to look at is take a look at your property and do a return on equity calculation on both your properties. Okay. So what I want you to do is start to calculate the yield that you have in both those properties, not necessarily your principal residence. That's different. That's an emotional purchase. You don't need to do it on that, but do it a return on equity calculation on your York Region property and your condo townhouse property. Then what I want you to do is do the same thing on another property that is like a duplex where you cash flow positive and you're putting 20% down. So that could be looking in a little bit out further than the markets that you've been considering. You could look at London, Guelph, you could look at Brantford, you could look out at Barrie, you could look out in like Oshawa's kind of really busy with, but you could look at like Bowmanville, you could look at Peterborough. Okay, so all of those markets, I'm giving you some ideas, right? You need to do your own due diligence on what makes sense to you. I mean, if you're out in the West End, you may want to just focus out in, you know, Guelph or London or Kitchener-Waterloo. But you need to find a market where when you put 20% down, you can still cash flow positive. You feel that there is still good appreciation and good cash flow. And you can do that by, as a realtor, you can go back and look at the historical data. And I don't know if you have access to all of those, all of the data everywhere, but you should, you could also talk to another realtor in the area so you get access to the data and just look at some of the streets and how they've done historically, or just look at the, you know, historical data from the local real estate association, right? And see what kind of you know, historical appreciation that you get, because you can find appreciation and cash flow in lots of different markets. You just have to work harder, right? And you have to get out of your comfort zone from where you're comfortable right now, and then that will help you. I'm not asking you to go to a different province or a different country. Really, you know, I'm just saying, like, try and look 45 minutes around where you live. Like, take a Google map and then just go 45 minutes around and see what cities and towns kind of end up in that area. And then, you know, from the ones that I mentioned, just do a little bit more deeper dive as to what makes sense. Because once you do your return on equity calculation on the two properties that you have, and then you compare it to a new property that you purchase, you may decide that exiting one of those properties to buy two properties in another location where you get positive cash flow and appreciation will actually yield you much higher results over time and generate wealth quicker. And you don't have you're not in a negative cash flow situation. So there are lots of areas that are available to you that can give you both. You just have to explore what's available and then take some time to do some due diligence on the area, the housing types. Most of the time, a single family home is not going to cash flow anymore in Ontario. It's just very challenging unless you go to a smaller market, but then there's a lot of risk with that. I like to stay in, like I said, a good, you know, look for the top 10 towns in Ontario, right? Like you can look at, big cities like Toronto, Ottawa, Kingston. You could look at like smaller areas like Peterborough, Cobourg, you know, Barrie, Orillia, Niagara, like you mentioned. You can look at, you know, Guelph, Brantford, Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, that whole area. So there's lots of different places. Don't get stuck by being a Toronto person, because there's money to be made everywhere. You just need to, and the key for me, and I think for you, should be to be able to put 20% down and still cash flow on a property. Right. Anybody can cash flow by putting 50% down, right? Or, you know, 100% down. But that's not the point, right? You want to get the most yield you can so you can get a return on equity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's perfect. So if I have to get rid of one of the properties, obviously it's going to be the condo townhouse over the freehold property, right? That in York region. In the past, yesterday I asked a question in the chat about the Bear Trust agreement, and they asked, like, I cannot do it after the closing because it's kind of too late. So I did have a conversation with my accountant, and the accountant also mentioned to me that I can do a Section 85 rollover. Yep. But it's going to trigger the land transfer, but not the capital gain, because the the owners are the same and they're legally entitled to do it. One of the questions that I had in the past was I approached my lawyer at the time of refinancing and I had to stay with the same lender because of the DCR and other requirements that they take a look at.
Yeah.
And the lawyer told me that even if I try to do the rollover, the lender has to agree to it.
That's right. Yeah. And you won't be able to do that unless you find a lender that's willing to put the corporation on title. What you might consider doing is figuring out whether you can do it the day before you sell the property. But then you'll have to come up with cash or some other private loan in order to close on it. Maybe like a bridge loan for a day or two. And then sell the property. The challenge you might have is that it's going to cause a lot of chaos with the people who are buying the property. Because what you need to do is if that's what you're trying to do, you need to find a lender that's willing to put the corporation on title. If you're in a fixed rate mortgage on the condo townhouse, you're going to have a penalty.
Condo townhouse on the variable, the new market property that is on a fixed.
So Scotiabank actually will do corporations on title. So one thing is you could go back to your Scotiabank rep and find out whether they will do the mortgage for you on that property and flip it from CIBC to Scotiabank. I can refer you to somebody, but if you've already dealt with somebody at Scotiabank, it's probably easier for you to go back to them. The idea would be is to let them know, look, I want to move this from CIBC to Scotiabank, but I want to put it as a corporation, but I'll personally guarantee it. And then that way you flip it into the corporation with the Section 85 rollover. Yes, you have to pay your land transfer tax and you have to pay legals and accounting costs. So it adds up. In Toronto, it sucks because it's like you got the Ontario tax and you get the Toronto land transfer tax.
So I did plan for this because I already had done my research beforehand. So at the start of the pandemic, what I did was I deferred my mortgage and built up a fund.
Right.
So fund is not the money that I spent on my day-to-day activity. I didn't need that fund. That fund is still available. So I can use the fund that the tenants, they paid me and do the rollover.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's all up to you whether you decide to do it or not, but that's definitely a way to kind of get that done. I mean, you have to talk to your accountant, you have to talk to your lawyer, and you have to talk to your mortgage professional to help make sure that everything works properly. But once you've got all of those pieces in place, I mean, it's doable. Then once you've switched over, if you wanted to sell it, you can still sell it. You can sell it the next day after you do a Section 85 rollover. And then it becomes a capital gain in the corporation, right? Everything happens in the corporation at that point. So it's something to keep in mind, but you'll have to, again, you have to talk to your accountant and your lawyer and the mortgage professional. And that mortgage professional has to accept that you're going to put the corporation on title. And once you've done that, then you have the land transfer taxes, the legals, and the accounting fees, if any.
But what you just said to me, it's worth a million because my brain is calculating like all of this stuff. So if I sell my property under my own personal name, it will trigger a capital gain. And because I have two jobs, that means my tax rate will be at the maximum, let's say 50%. So any gain that I have to give 25% of it to the government.
Yeah.
But if I do a rollover the day before the closing and then sell the property, that 25% gets reduced to 15% only.
So there's a bit of a challenge. You have to talk to your accountant to make that all work. I'm not sure if you can do it the day before close. You might have to do it like a couple months before close, because you've got to remember, if you're changing title, you have an agreement with the buyer with your name and, you know, the name of the what's on title. You don't want to change that a day before selling the property, right? That could be problematic unless everybody is aware of what you're doing. Right. You know, that can be a challenge. You might want to try to do it a couple months beforehand just to make sure that you get it all done and then sell the property if that's what you want to do too.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This is actually fantastic because I can wait for so the 3-month penalty is not a concern. The issue is the other one that they charge. So I looked at the, for example, new market property. So the way that they calculate the penalty is divided into two parts. One is a 3-month mortgage penalty that works out to be $3,000 is peanuts. The other one is the difference between the rate that they're offering you and their and the bank rate multiplied to the number of multiplied by your principal amount multiplied by the number of month that is remaining to your mortgage, and that works out to be $30,000. So that's a lot of money. But if this is the case, I definitely, this is worth like $1 million, because it's, instead of putting the condo townhouse for sale, I just do a refinance, take it to a private mortgage, a couple of months is not gonna break my bank, and sell it and save a lot more money. Because they go pretty fast. They go in one day. Right now, the average DOM on MLS is 1 day.
Yeah.
For the units.
Yeah. So it sounds like that it would work out well. Now you just have to make sure to time that with the tenant and make sure that you know everything times correctly. But if you can do that, then yes, it can work out well. So I'm glad that we were able to take some time and go through this. And we'll see you at the next Q&A call then.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with our member. I hope you got some valuable information out of it. If you would like to create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing, make sure to check out educationrei.ca. Until next time, I'm Quinton D'Souza. Get out there and take action. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for information purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to educationrei.ca.